So welcome to the show. And this is going out live on Mintwave Radio. So ask Alexa or go to KarenRobertsCoaching.com/Mintwave-radio to listen live and to look at our schedule of other shows. If you're listening in via podcast, you want to KarenRobertsCoaching.com/podcast-network to see mine and other podcasts that are in our network. You can download the app for Apple and Android, and please subscribe and follow or leave a comment. So today's episode is 110, and today we have Bettina Dada, business writer and copywriter, and we'll be talking about how to trust, align and connect with your soul so that you can stop feeling broken. So this definitely has a spiritual twist to it. I'm your host, Karen Roberts. Now we provide a platform for coaches, consultants, therapists and healers to get their message heard to the people who need it. As owners of Mintwave Radio Station and the Raising Vibrations Network on Podbean, we also have a directory, so come and find the right fit for you. So today we have Bettina. So if you'd like to share with the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yes, good morning from Sydney, Australia, first of all. So lovely to be on the show, Karen. Who I am and what I do, what a long question. I am, initially, I come from Germany, so I grew up and was raised in Germany and moved to Australia in 2008, so it's 15 years now. And so my life was quite settled over there. You know, I got married, had two kids, had a great job in public relations where I worked for 16 years. And then one day my husband came around the corner and said, oh, I've got a job offer in Sydney, because he was originally from Australia. So he was German-Australian, was born here. But we met in Germany anyway. So off we went, and I thought that's my chance now at 42 to do something different, you know. We packed everything up and came over here. And I always wanted to do more creative work, you know. I never did anything with it in Germany, but that I thought this is a good chance to do something different. So I immersed myself in all sorts of creative things, like started art classes, drawing and painting. I started dancing, you know, went to dance classes. And and this was kind of my creative journey. And after my studies, then I ended up at a design school in Sydney and studied a year and a half. It's a color design diploma. And after that, I self-published my first book for people who downsize from houses to apartments. It was a practical style guide in the interior design space. And so I sort of thought, oh, yeah, okay, what am I doing now with my life? You know, my kids were still little and I had to, you know, drive them to school and everything and get settled in a new country. And so I started all these creative things. I self-published my book and went on this journey, you know, this, I call it like, I don't know, my creative calling or something. And in 2015, then I started freelance writing for interior design magazines, and then a year later relaunched or revamped my website and started content writing or copywriting. And then so life went on, and what also happened in that at the same time, I got this idea about writing about my life. So I thought, I don't know what I'm doing with that, but I start something, you know, and just even if it's for my kids only, you know, because they were 3 and 6 when we came here to Australia. So they can't really remember anything what happened in Germany. My younger son can't remember anything. The other one was 6. He can still remember our house and stuff. But anyway, so I thought I need to do some writing. Anyway, so I started a class, a writing course, and my manuscript started to evolve, you know, over time. And then in 2016, that was an interesting year. It was also the same time I kind of entered menopause. It all happened in the same time. And at the end of the year, we went, my husband and I went to a wellness retreat where I had been several times before in the past 10 years. And, but I was never there with my husband. So anyway, we went there and, it was really weird. To say, well, now in hindsight, it was not weird for me, but at the time, you know, I arrived there and everything was, I got all these messages and people said things to me. And I thought, why is she now saying that to me? Or what, you know, in yoga, they talked about numerology and the years and whatever. And I'm like, something is happening here now. And then literally at the last day on the 31st of December, 2016, I had this really life-changing kahuna massage, which was, I had no idea what that is. Like literally 3 days before, I met this therapist in another massage, and it was a normal relaxation massage thing. You know, you book these packages and you get these inclusions and stuff. Anyway, but I thought this is like not a normal massage. I've had so many massages. This is something different. And then I kind of inquired at reception in the spa and I said, who was that guy? What was this that? And they said, oh yeah, yeah, he's our kahuna specialist. And I said, what is that? You know, I had never heard that word before. And anyway, they explained to me, yeah, it's a very spiritual massage, blah, blah, blah. Here, read about in the book. And I said, okay. And I said, I want that. And then I got this massage and literally it sounds so cheesy, but it literally changed my life in 90 minutes. But at the time, I didn't know what had happened, what was happening. I only knew I'd never felt anything like that before. And I was, at some point in that 90-minute treatment, I felt like the therapist and I, we were one person. Like it was really, I was in a, I don't know where I was. I don't talk about hypnosis, but I was in a totally different realm and which I had never encountered before. And it was beautiful. It was the most beautiful experience. But after it, I was so confused. Literally, I was sitting there for an hour in that spa relaxation area and kind of had this, everything was so beautiful. I had this heightened sense of beauty. I remember that, like everything was, the colors were brighter, everything, the sounds, the nature, the birds, whatnot. And I'm like, and then I had this, you know, I was eating, you get after the treatments, you always get like a little tray with a tea and some fruit. And I ate these fruit. And I remember they tasted so good, you know, like everything was different. And then I had this thing in my head. I just heard always this voice, something's going to change, something's going to change, something's going to change. And I was like, stop it. What is that? You know, it was really weird. Anyway, we went on. It was New Year's Eve. We had the evening next day. We flew home to Sydney. And then I was like totally confused and I couldn't concentrate on anything, which then ended up in, after 3 weeks of kind of trying to figure out what had happened, I ended up working with a life coach. So I called this woman, I'd met her a couple of months earlier at a networking meeting, and I said I need to talk to someone. And she we had a chat, like a coffee, you know, an hour, and I kind of told her the whole thing. And this is also, I will never forget that when I was finished, she looked at me and she said, oh my God, this is so exciting. You are in a really interesting phase of your life. This guy has freed up your inner goddess and she must have been hidden for a long time. And I was looking at the woman, I thought, what? What did she talk? Anyway, but that was the start of a very challenging year, 2017, which was, I think, for me, the biggest year of change in my whole life. And I started working with this woman, going through all these, you know, coaching modalities, NLP, timeline therapy and whatnot. And after 3 months, I sat there one morning and said to her, I know now what's going to change. Like I had this thing. And she said, what? And I said, my marriage is over. I just need to get out of there. I She said, wow. Yes, I was waiting for you to tell me that, you know. And that was, yeah, that was then the beginning, obviously, total overwhelm then when I voiced that. And I thought, oh, my God, after 23 years, what now? You know, how do I do that? Like, oh, God, can I do that, you know, in another country? And so really not panic, but it was very challenging. But, yeah, I worked through all sorts of things. And in that year, my manuscript, now getting back to the writing, totally changed. And, you know, that my book focus changed. And anyway, so, yeah, I started rewriting and editing. And then it took still a few years. And last year, my memoir was then finally published. It's called Dare to Dance.
Awesome. You got it done in the end. So what's it called, sorry?
It's called Dare to Dance. Because it's like, it's a double meaning. Obviously, the Kahuna massage is a spiritual dance or dance.
Oh, okay.
And then I also, during that year of change, or afterwards, actually in 2018, I started ballroom dancing. And which was also one day, like early 2018, I had, you know, we had kind of, it was a challenging year. We got through all the divorce stuff and property settlement and whatnot. Finally, everything was done. And then I was alone in our house, which we would then sell a few months later, obviously. But I kind of said goodbye to our family home, you know, of 10 years, blah, blah. It was a nice time. It was very sad in a way, but I took the time, you know, to go through all of that. And then one day I was watching Strictly Ballroom, this iconic Australian movie. And I thought, oh, God, yeah. And then I got this again. I heard this voice, go back to the dance school. And I said, okay, great. That's it. So I started. I called a day, like literally on that was the 1st of January 2018. I Googled dance schools here on the Northern Beaches, and I found a dance school. And 3 days later, I had my first ballroom lesson. And I've been dancing ever since. And now I'm competing in ballroom, you know, in international ballroom. I dance pro-am competitions. Yeah. So it's super fun.
Goodness, what a transformation. Yeah. Wow. And do you think any of this would have happened if you hadn't moved across, well, it's more than a pond, isn't it, going from Germany to Australia? I mean, do you think that you would have stayed in the job that you were doing because you were safe?
This is actually a really good question, and I thought about that. It's like, it is actually like a domino effect, and you're right. If we had not moved to Australia, I think I'd still be in that same PR agency where I had worked for 13 years, because I'm still in contact with ex-colleagues. There's a few that are still there, you know, from that. Like we had a really, it was a nice office environment and like a mid-sized German business, 50, 60 staff, several, you know, it was a very nice job, interesting, you know, but I think I'd still be there, you know, and I kind of thought about backwards, had I not done this, this and this, then this wouldn't have happened, you know. And so it's actually, I kind of have to be grateful. And I am still to my husband, ex-husband, because he said, oh, yeah, you know, I let's move back to Australia. You know, it's kind of interesting. And it is really like, I wrote that in my book somewhere. I think Australia has treated me well. Like this whole journey I was on in the last 14 years would never have happened, I think, had we stayed in Germany. Like this whole creative phase, you know, like really, I love being with writers, dancers, whatever, you know, painters, all these creative people. because it gave me the opportunity to do it. You know, in Germany, I'd work part-time. The kids, you know how it is. You are settled. You have your routine. Everything is comfortable and safe. And yeah.
And that's the thing, safe. Quite often we fall into things because we think we should be doing that. And then, of course, you know, comes the house and you've got bills to pay and then kids and you've got responsibilities. So the idea of change can be quite difficult. Whereas with you, you were forced to change anyway. So you were going to have to do something different anyway. So why not? Which is interesting because you could have done it in Germany.
Yeah, and I was, but yeah, exactly. But it was this thing. I was 42, and as I said, everything was fine. I loved my job. I had the kids, everything. I was in a nice community, nice house, blah, blah. But I was always thinking, is that now it? Am I doing this for the rest of my life, like for the next 25 years work or whatever, like working in this agency? I've been there already for 13 years. You know, I thought this is like, this can't be the thing now, you know. And I was sort of, and when Martin said, I've got this job over, I thought, okay, this is a sign. I have to do this because, and if all fails and we, you know, then the thing was everyone said, oh, yeah, it's all good. You're going there with your family. You're not alone, you know. And I said, exactly. If all fails, we can always move back. You know, like I was not like me on my own flying to Australia. I've never been there, you know. I had been to Australia a few times and we were there as the family. We went there. So it was kind of, in a way, safe as well, you know, but a bit scary, of course. And yeah, and I kind of, that was a big change because I left literally everything behind, you know, my friends, my family, our house, my career, everything. My husband just went back to his old life where he grew up, you know. He for him it was coming home. So I thought, okay, let's do it. And yeah, but again, it was a big change. But and that's what I've learned in all these years. There's everything we want is on the other side of fear. There's this saying, you know, and you don't know what you don't know. So you know, I just thought, okay, let's go and see what happens. And then I had all these positive things happening to me in a way, you know. Of course, there was some negative stuff or like things that were like, it was hard to leave friends behind and everywhere, you know, like it's far away. You can't go there all the time. And but it's, yeah, in the end, I think it was a good, because for me, I totally changed as a person. And that was also when I told my husband I want to separate. I think until this day, he doesn't actually understand why I separated from him, because there was no other man or no affair, nothing. I tried to explain it to him, but this whole journey I was on, and I also, what happened in that time, I was, I learned to do yoga and meditation and, you know, connecting. Actually, I was kind of spiritual already, but it culminated when I had this massage, and I was it without realizing what it was. Actually, it's a bit weird, but and so I had all these influences from these other communities where my husband was totally excluded. And he did not understand, and he's not into this spiritual realm in a way. I remember I tried to explain to him that I said to him at the end, I said, look, I can only say one thing. I'm not the same person who went with you in 2008 in this plane to fly over here. And I just changed, and I have other things are important to me now. And yeah, and that was it. So I was on this other journey, and I lost. Where did we go? Lost my what was the question before? This is so long.
Well, it's just that, you know, you've had such a transformation.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just so funny that, you know, we think that we have these, well, we put our barriers up, the things that we think we can't go and try because we've got to play it safe. But actually anybody could go and do this at any time, wherever. They don't need to go and fly across the world, do they, to trigger this change, if that's what they want. So were you always creative, and was it just being sort of suppressed with what you were doing, or was this something completely new?
I think I had, I'm a quite creative soul, but in Germany, I never really did anything with it. So I remember, you know, my mom, when I think when I was 12, she took me to the opera and the theater. And then we went, I remember the like the times, you know, when I was a teenager, she loved to go to art exhibitions. Not that she was an artist or something, but like she liked beautiful things and art. And I have in our family, some of my uncles are architects, you know, they draw and paint. So there is something in the family, but I never did anything with it in Germany, really. Only I remember in 2005, that was my second son was just born. We went to a holiday club thing in Germany and they had an art studio there. So that was my first thing where I kind of thought, oh, now I'm on holiday. I just want to go and paint something. And that was my first encounter kind of with art and painting. And I loved it so much that I then started at home, you know, kind of in the time pockets I had to paint and kind of self. I never did an art class in Germany. I just did something myself, you know. And then when I was here and I had these, you know, in that first year when we arrived here and the boys were 6 and 3. My husband disappeared in the office. He had his job already. And I was like sitting there at home trying to figure out how to drive on the left side, where the supermarket is, what to buy, all that stuff, you know, with two little kids. They were just looking at me, Mom, what are we doing today? And I thought, oh, God, this drives me crazy. Stop asking me. I have no idea. And so over time, you know, and then I kind of got settled and I thought, now, what do I want to do with my life here? And I thought, now I know what, I'm going to art classes. I always wanted to do that. So I started doing these art classes. You know, there's this course term classes, you know, for 3 months in art schools and went here in Sydney to different art schools. And then I ended up, someone told me about the design school, where I then went and I enrolled in this color design diploma, which was a part-time course thing, you know, going over 1.5 years. But I loved every minute of it. Oh my God, it was all about colors, you know, learning about colors, mixing colors, color schemes, psychology of color, interior design stuff, you know, putting designs together. I loved it, you know. And then, yeah, that was how it started. And then I, you know, with the writing that came then in and the dancing, it's all creative stuff in a way.
It's all creative. So what are the big lessons that you know, with this change, the year of change going over there?
Yeah, so I think one of the things really in these moments of change, you know, when we realize there is something happening, am I doing it or not? You know, it's like really we have two choices. Either we take it and go for it and kind of embrace all the uncertainty as well, but also the opportunities, or we become a victim of our circumstances and do nothing, you know, and keep sitting there where we are, safe and complaining about all sorts of things. So that was the first thing. And then in that year of change, I really realized everything we want is on the other side of fear. I said that already, but that is a really interesting one. You have to just push through because in my case, you know, I really know, I had so many new things coming to me, new people I met, new opportunities that would not have happened. And we have always a choice, you know, it's in the present moment, every second of the day, basically, you can choose, okay, do I go right or left? Or what do I do, you know? And that is, I think, yeah, something to kind of be aware of. I learned a lot of trust and belief through all my meditation practice and the yoga I kept did at the time. So it's a lot of I guess Yeah, when you go for something and then things fall into place, you know, at some point you just have to make the move. And then, yeah, kind of believe in yourself, you know, that you can do it, and just follow your guidance, sort of. And that's it's a bit spiritual, but this is something I really learned, listening more to my body and my gut, not here always, because I was a very logical or mind focus, you know. I was always discussing everything and thinking about the advantage and disadvantage and, you know, analyzing. And I'm still doing that, but I try really hard working on this, tapping more into my body and listening. And what my experience is since that time, every time I listen to my gut, it was the right decision, even if my head said, you can't do this, and oh God, you know, and that will happen, and oh my God, and think about this, and what will the people think, and this is all this crap, you know, we are telling ourselves all the time. It's
absolutely. Yeah. We've got to listen to that inner voice, which has our best interest at heart. So for anybody that is going through, you know, I mean, this term midlife crisis, I hate it.
Yeah. it's negative. It's
so negative, isn't it? But actually, the way I see it is that sometimes, you know, life goes by so quickly and you've got young children and you're busy, and then suddenly you can be looking around going, well, right, hang on a minute. Where am I? What am I doing? Is this what I really, really want, really, really want? And I'd rather go through that than not go through it and get to the end of life having my regrets. So, you know, think to yourself, are you happy where you're at right now? So what are your tips for women to navigate going through midlife?
Look, I guess, first of all, and that's always a good advice in anything, educate yourself and, you know, do your due diligence, sort of. Like, but when I entered menopause, that was also a really funny story. I ended up at my GP because I was totally panicking. My period was totally out of whack and bleeding and, oh my God, for a week without end. And I thought, I'm dying. What's that, you know? And she looked at me and I said, how old are you? And I said, 52. And she said, hello, menopause. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, that was like, great. So what did I do? I bought some books and stuff and read and researched online and read a bit about what's happening now. And when you do that, you already, you know, knowledge is power in a way. Okay, I thought, this is happening, that is happening. Great. So I think that's the first thing. And then also don't buy into that menopause trap. You know, people, if you look at the media or whatever, everything's so negative. It's the end of your life and now going downhill and whatnot. And I did one really good thing. Actually, on that retreat week in 2016, I met one of the therapists. She was a Reiki, I think. Or I can't remember any one of these natural therapists. She said, by the way, I have a good friend in Sydney. If you're back home, she runs these menopause courses, workshops. Anyway, so I ended up and did this 6 weeks. It was 6 weeks, once a week. We met called Menstruation and Menopause Workshop, organized by the College of Universal Medicine, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I went there. This was really cool. There were about 12 women, and we talked about, you know, all sorts of things around menopause. And I thought, okay, great. So I learned what's going to happen. And then, and that was also where we talked about all that negative stuff that people say, you get told, you hear, you in the media. It's just, the more, I think, from my experiences, the more positive and kind of optimistic you embrace this phase, it's nothing else than another life change. Yes, it has can have some uncomfortable things going with it, but honestly, if you are positive, and then the next thing, really look after your health and well-being, eat well, learn about what food does to your body, and eat the right stuff, and then also do exercise. And I just did all that, and I had literally nothing. Nothing. I had a bit of hot flushes, but that was negligible. It was like nothing. And, you know, I never did any hormone replacement stuff. And what people, some women, I have friends, they are 40. They start already saying, oh my God, menopause. When that happens, oh my God, this will be awful. And I said, stop it. You are attracting the awfulness. Stop it.
Yeah,
it's not
you don't
awful.
Know. I'm exactly. At it easy. I think I'm there. I think I'm through it already. I'm like,
you don't know. Yeah, I know. You. That's the thing. You don't know. And that's why it's so, don't listen to the media and all that stuff. Because, and that's another thing, we can choose what we let into our brain, you know. We can choose not to watch the news every day. I stopped watching the news for a while ago because it totally depressed me. I said, I don't want to hear all that crap, you know. It's only negative stuff. Just, you know, you can choose what you want to listen to, what you want to watch, who you want to talk to. And that is also another thing, really. Surround yourself with positive people is another thing, which when I went through my divorce year, the separation year, I lost a few friends along the way because they couldn't cope with my decision. They thought, hey, what, how can you leave your husband, blah, 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 whatever. And I said, look, I have to do it. This is what I have to do. It's my path and whatnot. And then I thought, okay, I just have to let go of these people, these negative people. I can't have that. I only want to be with positive people. And honestly, these days, if I think about the people I hang out with, you know, communities, like if it's my writers group or a book club or my Arbonne community or the people, whatever I know from in the yoga studio, I don't know, yeah, like just people I hang out with or my dancer friends, they are all nice people, you know. They're kind of aligned with what I do, sort of, you know, mostly. And it's kind of, so I just don't deal with negative people anymore. I try, you know, as obviously if you have people in your family, you can't, but you know, you can limit the time you spend with people if you don't want to be with them. There is always a way. And the other thing, really, apart from, I get healthy habits, is I touched it with eating and exercising, you know, embrace healthy habits that fit in your day and kind of help you get through the day. I do, for example, I have a morning routine, which I can't really remember when I established it, but I think it was in that year when I separated, where I meditate every morning, I journal, gratitude and, you know, my goals and all sorts of stuff. It can be different for different people, but this is something I don't want to miss anymore. I do it every day, Saturday, Sunday, no matter holiday. So this is something that helps me staying grounded and start the day in a positive mood, you know. And then I mean, the last thing, really, I guess, and that's when you said before, women, you know, they can feel a bit invisible and lost their purpose and whatnot after raising the kids. Sorry, it's really about finding something, if it's a hobby or a passion or a new group or even a side gig, maybe a business, something that fuels your soul, where you can kind of put yourself into, you know, because I'm now actually right at that point that you described a bit earlier. I'm at another pivotal point in my life. My sons are now both out of school. One is 21 soon, next month, and he's studying and working, and the other one will turn 18 in 2 months, and he's going off to Europe this year. And I thought, okay, now what am I going to do? And I actually decided to move away from Sydney up the coast where I talked to you last week from. So it's about 1,000 kilometers north at the border to Queensland. It's in back to nature in a smaller town, you know. It's a very nice area up there, very lots of tourists as well. But it's just out of this 5 million people city here. And for me, it's another year of change this year, and I feel a bit like in 2017, a bit, you know, a bit unsettled and uncertain. But I know I did it before, and I can do it again. And it will all work out. And, you know, I meditate every morning, attracting all the guidance and signs to, you know, to guide me the right path and whatnot.
I find it exciting. I'm in a similar spot myself. I'm sort of going to be an empty nester soon. And I'm really looking forward to it, actually. As long as my girls are happy, they're happy, they're working, they're doing their own thing. So now I'm like, right, okay. I always wanted to be a bit of a digital nomad. So I think I'll pop here.
Come to Australia, Karen.
For 3 months and pop there. And I can, travel. I think it's exciting. So, what's been your greatest inspiration with your whole journey?
Oh, dear. Wow, this is a big question. Look, I'm very inspired by the Stoic philosophers, I have to say. I like reading, Marcus Aurelius and all these guys from thousands of years ago. They had really interesting things to say. So there's some really nice books and inspirational quotes out there. I don't know. I read a lot of Buddhist books, Buddhist philosophy of life. That kind of inspired me. And on my spiritual journey, I don't know. And I guess the other thing what I really want to achieve is to show my sons. They inspire me in a way too, my kids, you know, like I really want to show them that you can rewrite your story anytime in your life. And that is my, you know, because they've been watching me in the last 5 years. And I think they never, you know, boys don't talk that much, mine anyway, but like I think they kind of were a bit worried as well. I felt that. I said, what is mom now going to do? What's that about, you know, and leaving dad and oh my God. Now it's very, they are kind of my big why, you know, why I'm getting out of bed every morning and doing what I'm doing. But I guess, I don't know. There's lots of things that inspire me because I'm looking, you know, I'm inspired by a lot of successful people in Arbon, you know, that's my social marketing business. All the personal development we get there and I, you know, see what people can actually achieve, really normal people who they're like you and me. And there's lots of sources to be inspired by, I guess.
Yeah, every day. But yeah, it's nice that, your children, they're not so little, but, you know, little eyes and ears are always watching. So can you share a little bit more about the dancing and how does dancing empower you as a woman?
Yeah, so, oh my God, this is, I wrote a whole chapter in my book about what dancing means to me. It is like, I always say it's a constant fountain of joy. You're never ending. Like it is so many things apart, you know, everyone can Google the benefits of dancing on the internet. There will 5 million things come up, like from, you know, health, brain health, body health, whatever, fitness. It is also really, it's a way of socializing, you know, of being, it's actually also mindfulness practice in a way, because you have to be super present every step you take on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. And I realize that sometimes when we train, or I don't want to say practice because that sounds like, what I do, dance sport is really a sport. It's not social dancing. It's full on. Mm-hmm. Like it is full on. And every time I realize that sometimes we train or we dance something new or whatever, we dance a certain step combination, I can't actually talk to my dance teacher while I'm doing it. You know, like sometimes when you do stuff, you can, you know, you do talk and do stuff. But I have to be really mindful and present. So that's what I like about it. It's so many things, you know. And then, the social is aspect and the, like, just this, all this. For me, it's also creating beauty on the dance floor. It's this creative thing, you know, when you wear these nice ballroom gowns, and that's part of the the stuff, making up, makeup, full on hair, you know, 5 tons of hairspray and makeup in the face. it's all belongs together. When you go to these big out dance in December, we dance at the Australian Championships in Melbourne. That is one of the biggest comps. Oh my God, I was there for the first time. You know, you're so nervous. But it's, yeah, and then that's the thing. Every time you step on this dance floor in the competitions, this is totally nerve-wracking. It takes a lot of courage, but it, you know, you push through it and you are there totally exposed. In the light, there's 10 judges around the dance floor watching what you're doing. Like the audience is watching. It's kind of this getting in the zone. You know, I'm trying to sort of really concentrate on myself and my dance partner and like really not think about anything else, which sometimes works, sometimes it doesn't. That alone, like I have, you know, all my dancer friends, I have, luckily I have some good friends as well who I know from the previous dance school I was, and we're dancing the comps together, and there's other people I now know after 1.5 years of doing it. It is like everyone who does it, I said, hey, you know, we all have to be really proud of ourselves, what we do here. This is like, you don't know how many women said to me in the last 5 years now, oh my God, I always wanted to do ballroom dancing. And I said, okay, so why aren't you not doing it? You just need to go to a dance school. They all offer a free complimentary, like first lesson. So you just go there, try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to go back. If you like it, you can take it. So why are you not doing it? And then they are all coming up with these excuses. You know, one said, I need to lose weight first. And I thought, what shit is this? And then the other said, oh, well, yeah, my kids, and I don't know. Like, it is.
Yeah, it's whenever there's resistance, it's subconscious. But that's it. You're going to come up and then all the excuses as to why they can't do it.
And I remember the first time I opened this door to the dance school in 2018, I thought, what the heck am I doing here? You know, you have in that last moment, you think, am I crazy? And then my dance teacher was 25. So he could be my son, you know, like, and I'm like, God, this is ridiculous. But honestly, it took 10 minutes into the dance lesson and I knew, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. You know, it says you need to push through. There is this phase where I could have just turned around and not gone into the dance studio, you know. Yeah. And it's this, it's a bit scary and but honestly, what's the worst thing? No one's going to die, you know, like it's just, I said, okay, if I don't like it, I will survive this 1 hour and then I don't go back, you know. But it's
Simple. Why do you think so many people hold themselves back?
Yeah,
and it's not something that they might enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about the dance. For me, it's the dancing, but it can be anything, any other hobby, passions, starting a business. You know, people writing a book. Ugh, how many? I want to write a book, but they never start. I said, okay, I'm doing now also writing coaching, and I said, then you have to get started. You get into a habit. Like every day, write 5 words, you know, whatever, 10 words, and one paragraph. You need to get started. You will never, otherwise you will never finish it. So it's always about, again, these choices about, and I always say, if people really want something, they will make the time, because we all have only the 24 hours in a day. Everyone has the same time, and it's our choices, what we make a priority. And I made dancing a priority because I totally love it, you know, and I spent time, hours and hours in the last 5 years, tons of money on it. Like, you know, it's also not very cheap hobby, you know, this is so because I know it's good for my health and well-being. And so, yeah, it's if you want to do something, you can make the time for it. It's just, yeah. Or you don't really want it. If you come up with the excuses, you might not really want it. You know, it's this.
So what do you do now? What are you doing now? You're helping women. If you're helping women going through what you did,
Look, with my Arbonne business, it's social marketing business where it's, you know what that is. You are in one too, I think. And now it's about helping women, helping people, bringing joy and fun and purpose back into their life, being in a community that is supportive, and by helping other people with a holistic approach to health and well-being. And then creating, you know, this business is totally effort-based. So you can create what you want out of it. If it's only like a bit of a side gig, or you want to make it a part-time business or a full-time job, or not job, a full-time business or work, you know, you can decide to do that. And work, get a lot of personal development along the way, you know, and work your way through it, and with other people that are supportive. It's a really nice thing. I do it alongside my writing work. I help also people with writing coaching, and I studied nutrition recently, or I'm doing that at the moment, so to kind of help with supporting our lifestyle programs we have in Arbonne. Like, it's all about healthy lifestyle habits, you know, healthy living, getting into better eating and living habits. So, yeah.
So it's an all round. So really, I mean, you're doing so much. What was the
I know.
Thing?
Oh, yeah, look.
Writing books, copywriting, business writing. And your Arbonne business. So yeah. For the listeners out there, if they've never heard of Arbonne, what is Arbonne?
Oh, it's a holistic health and wellness company, 40 years in the market. So we promote a holistic approach to beauty, health and well-being. We have certified vegan skincare and nutrition. And a big part is really our lifestyle programs called either 30 Days to Healthy Living. It's just a name. It's about getting into better habits, helping people eat better, live better, you know, learn how to how food can fuel the body, you know, what to do to get into healthy habits, what that suits their lifestyle, basically. And whether people just want to add one healthy habit a day, or, you know, learn a bit what can I do to improve my well-being, or whether they want a whole coach program, we can help them with that.
Okay, so you can coach people through it as well.
Yeah, I coach people through this 30-day program. Arbonne is a great corporate story as well. Arbonne is a certified B Corporation for 4 years now, which means we balance profit and purpose, basically. So we have very B Corps. B stands for benefit. It's a worldwide movement of companies. And they adhere to very high social and environmental responsibilities. So everything we do is sort of backed with this lot of sustainability going on in the background. You know, we mm-hmm. have sustainable sourcing practices for the ingredients. We have a charity. We have recycling programs. So it's really very healthy, clean products. No nasties. We ban more than 2,000 ingredients from our product. So it's really helping people to understand how the body works and what they actually put on their body, what happens if they put a lot of chemicals on their body or in their body and all of that. So, yeah, and I'm passionate about it because I changed my diet a lot over the last 5-7 years or so. And I realized how important nutrition is. And now with my studies, you know, I'm learning new things. And it's quite interesting. Yeah. So I hope to help a lot. Yeah.
Cool. So for the listeners out there, if they'd like to, first of all, let's get back to your book. So that's the big thing. How would they purchase it?
Yeah, so it's available on Amazon. So that's the easiest if you're not here in Australia. Obviously, you can also get it in bookshops. Here in Australia, there's some other online providers, but I'm not sure Booktopia, if that is, for example, overseas. But Amazon is the, so is everywhere,
and
you know. You
and can, the name of the book again,
Dare yeah, to Dance? It's Dare to Dance. And I also have a website, which is easy. My name, bettinadeda.com. And there the people will find all my writing stuff. And also there is a book page with links, how to order the book and some more information, you know, other podcasts and videos I did and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. And then obviously I'm on social media. If on Instagram, if someone wants to follow me, it's just Bettina_Deda, or on Facebook, they find me with my name as well.
Fantastic. So you're about to go through another transition. You said that you're about to move. So, again, uncertainty. And we talked about that before, because that seems to be the scary part for so many people is they're afraid of uncertainty. But uncertainty, there's no need to be afraid, is there?
No, and I always, in that year 2017, as I said, you know, I got these messages and whatnot during that year. And in yoga, I did yoga almost every day in that year. And one day a teacher said, in yoga, we learn to not let uncertainty turn into fear. And I thought, yeah, this is good. You know, like, it's like really, it is scary in a way, but, and that's why now what helps me is my meditation practice and all this mindfulness stuff I'm doing. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, center back into myself and be calm and meditate on all sorts of things. And I have I have here on my wall a big vision board for this year with all my, you know, different areas of my life, what I want to achieve, and my slogan. I always have words for every year. So this year my words are effortlessly expansive.
And then
I got, like, just the other day, I, because in Arbonne we get coached as well, we have with our uplines and stuff. So anyway, I had a coaching session, and that was interesting. We talked about my vision board and the my words, and then I learned, now what I also added, I put some questions to it, because obviously this is, you know, you always fall back into your old habits. So sometimes I want to be effortlessly expansive, but I'm actually not. I'm pushing stuff. I want to make it happen. I'm so impatient. And then, or I'm really limiting my own thinking. So I have now these questions here. Am I pushing, and am I limiting my thinking? So every time I'm kind of, you know, start getting back into old habits, I'm kind of looking at my board and I think, okay, you're pushing, it's not good. But it's, yeah.
Because it's so true. It's so easy to slip back into our old programming. Whenever we're starting something new, we've got to be conscious of it, which is why it's so important to have a vision board, to have something visual up there that you can see every single day. Otherwise, of course you're going to go back to your programming.
And that is because you've done it for 50 years, in my case.
Yeah.
It was literally, I was 52 when I had this spiritual awakening. And I mean, like, to unlearn things from 52 years, this is bloody difficult, you know, like I know that's why I worked with coaches, and I did all this personal, I love all the personal development stuff I'm doing from every corner, you know. I'm reading books constantly. I'm in a nonfiction book club, for example. We read only personal development memoirs and biographies and that stuff. It's amazing. And it's constant work. You can't stop doing it, because then automatically this old crap comes up.
Basically, if you want change, you've got to stay conscious with it, and you've got to have reminders to keep you going. So exciting times ahead, by the sound of it, Bettina.
Yeah, very. I'm kind of a bit not scared, but it's a bit, whew, yeah, tricky. And yeah, I'm go, here we go again. I had last night a conversation with my sons about, because it will happen probably in the next 2-3 months with moving. And I, like, you know, my son is leaving in April, the younger one. And then we're like, oh my God, we're planning this. There's so many things going on again, like, like crazy.
I think 2023 is going to be such a transformational year anyway for so many people.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. So, well, thank you so much for your time today, Bettina. It's been fascinating speaking to you. I mean, what a transformation, and what about some journeys across the globe, really?
Yeah.
And now you're getting ready for another one. So,
yeah, so, thanks.
Again, for anybody, reach out to Bettina if you'd like to get her book, or if you'd like some coaching, or you'd like to join Arbonne. And the rest of you listeners, if you're a coach yourself and you're getting ready and you want help to scale your business, and you need help with designing or creating, marketing or selling your own program, then you can always go to the website up there, KarenRobertsCoaching.com, or just book a call. KarenRobertsCoaching.com/discovery, and just have an informal chat with either myself or one of our team. And anyway, I will be back on, I believe I'll be back on Thursday. That's it. I will definitely be back on Thursday. So goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. And all the best to you as well.
Thank you.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.